Welcome to episode 122 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We are so glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Laura, and Lindsay, and our special guest, Andy. Andy is new to the Outlander travel team and the travel business as a whole. She's worked in several aspects of creating the perfect wedding day by baking lovely wedding cupcakes and designing dream wedding rings, but realized that she loved helping couples dream up the perfect proposal or honeymoon trip even more. So let's get started. So I'm just going to briefly talk about how Andy and I met. Well, so we'd met actually earlier because she babysat my kids once and then said, nope, I'm done. These kids are crazy. we sort of met through a mutual friend, and at that time, Andy was, you were still baking, I think, right?
I was.
Yes, she was baking. So she had this crazy baking schedule. I was like, that sounds so cool. She's like, uh-huh. but then she contacted me after I opened my business, and she said, I want to go to Disney World with my fiance, or no, with my boyfriend, right? And I said,
boyfriend still at the time.
Yeah, boyfriend. And so I said, okay, great. And probably, I don't know, about a month before the trip, she sent me a note. She said, so I think he's going to propose. I sort of let him know how to contact you, but could you maybe reach out to him and, you know, offer to help? And I'm like, no. Because what if he's not going to? I mean, I don't know you and I don't know how serious this is. But it turned out she was right. And I got these fantastic photos. He never reached out to me. He did it all on his own. So do you want to tell the story of what happened?
Oh, yes. Well, we were there for, I think, 8 days, and the entire time, because everyone suspected he was going to propose. We'd been together about 8 years at the time, and every day was like, has he done it? Has he done it? So he found out through the same friends who recommended California Grill, because they had the fireworks. So we were there, one of the last tables, so we were there for dessert during the fireworks, and he took me out on the balcony, and we watched, and he's standing behind me and just hugging me, and I realize maybe half a second before he does that he's going to put the ring on my finger, but I really thought he was just going to be goofy and stick it in his mouth for a second.
It's just the things that run through your head.
So he stuck the ring on my finger, and just right during the fireworks, and asked me to marry him.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And so was it the next day you went to Cinderella's Royal Table? Was that?
We actually went the day before to Cinderella's Royal Table. We had thought, or I thought he was going to propose there, but somebody else had gotten engaged right before. So I don't know if he was really thinking about it at all and just decided not to. But I think I was a little bit mad at him. He says I was a little angry when we left because I thought the whole time.
When's it going to happen? But one of the pictures you sent me was the two of you with Cinderella, right?
Yes, that was actually at the Fairy Tale Hall.
Okay.
We went there for the pictures.
Okay. Yeah, so there's an adorable picture of them with the ring.
Did he make you wait till the last night?
I think 2 nights before we left. Oh, wow. I was beginning to wonder, like, this is going to be a very long drive home if he doesn't.
Well, and so you see, as a travel agent, I was like, I'm not going to get into this. Because if I were to call him and he were to say, yeah, I'm not going to do that, I'd be like, okay. And then I know that it's not going to happen. And then I can't tell you that. And then when you come home and you're like, but he didn't do it. So, yeah.
I was really worried.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, when he says, no, I'm not going to do it, he said, well, when you do want to do it, I have a great over-the-water bungalow.
Or, well, while you're recovering from your injuries in the hospital, I can send Annie on a lovely trip to the Caribbean for you.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So do you think that he knew that you kind of knew it was going to happen, so he's messing with you, and that's why?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, he knew. I mean, by year 5, I was already kind of bugging him about it, because I knew I wanted to marry him, and I knew he wanted to marry me. He took his time. Wow. He did a great job, though.
That's cool.
And so you went back a year later.
Yes, we did. We went back for our wedding. We got engaged on the 28th of September, and our wedding was the 26th of the following year. So we were back at the same restaurant during the fireworks exactly 1 year later.
Did you get married at Disney World?
We wanted to, but we didn't. We actually got married in Colombia and just drove down there the day after the wedding.
Awesome. My brother and his wife had their honeymoon, and their anniversary is this weekend. So it's been a year now that their honeymoon was at Disney, too.
So this is the other thing. Apparently, Andy lives a life of mystery as well, because she called me and she said, I knew that they were engaged. She sent me all the pictures and she said, so we're planning our honeymoon probably for February, you know, of next year. So I sent her some quotes, and then she said, yeah, well, we're not exactly sure what we're going to do. So we just want to go back the same time we were there before. Can we just move the trip? I said, sure. And the next thing I know, she's married. Nobody told me anything. I was still thinking. So I was like, so do you still need that honeymoon in February? She's like, no.
Well, I didn't tell anybody. I had a very small wedding, about 20 people, closest friends and just immediate family. It was a little bit of a surprise until I posted it on Facebook. Nobody knew.
Yep.
Wow.
We wanted to get married. We didn't want to have to worry about all the money and the stress of it. So we're like, well, let's just do it so that this can be our honeymoon.
So I
made it more worthwhile.
I booked her honeymoon without knowing I was booking her honeymoon. Yeah, I had no idea. I did not. I really didn't. She came back and I had to ask several people, is she, including her, are you married now? What is your name? So, and then
so
he went back.
Booked the trip to Disney for?
I booked that trip. Yeah, I booked that trip for her. She said, well, we decided that we're not going to maybe do the honeymoon thing, but we do want to go back that same week, which, of course, you know, sentimental. I get it. You know, and it didn't occur to me that she was planning some sort of secret wedding that she's going to hide from the universe.
Well, Zane didn't know when I started booking the trip about the wedding either. I let him know about 2 months before.
But he
figured out where we were going.
He didn't seem unhappy about it, so.
No. Awesome.
So are you focusing on helping people pull off this kind of stuff? Is that what you want to try to make happen?
Well, I would definitely love to. The romance side is what I know, not just from my own experiences, but from working in the bakery and with jewelry. Mm-hmm. So many people come in and not know what they want to do for their proposal or for their honeymoon. And if they're Disney fans, and a lot of them are, I've made so many mini cupcakes and with the Pandora Disney jewelry as well.
Oh, can you get a discount on that?
Sandy!
Sorry.
Pandora doesn't do that great with the discounts, I have to say. That's why I get a lot of it at Disney World.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, you know, there's a whole like wedding pavilion kind of thing down at Disney where you can go and look at like the table settings and flower arrangements and all kinds of stuff like that too.
And their wedding cakes are to die for with the projection on them. I just love it.
Yeah. And I learned this in my last training last year at Disney. They are the number one domestic honeymoon location in the U.S. Isn't that crazy?
I'm actually surprised. Do you know where they are internationally?
I don't know, but I bet
I bet they're pretty high up there for that as well.
Yeah.
So, and then you went back. So really taking this romance thing a little bit further, you went back for your first anniversary as well.
We did. And it's just, I love Disney, how they treat you so special, especially when they see that button. They really treated me like a princess. And we went for our 1 year anniversary to Blue Zoo. And nice. It was just amazing to go with this private table. And I'm a foodie with the baking and with food in general. So we do competitions between the two of us to who can get the best meal. And we've been to Blue Zoo twice, and he has won every time. So I've got to win this next one.
Wow. Now that's it. Is it the dolphin or swan?
Blue Zoo, it's at the Swalfin is what I say. Which one is it? Do you know?
Yes. It's at the Swan. Okay. I have to look every time I book it.
It really doesn't matter. It's okay. Just go over there and look
who's
at the
chef. I know it's
Todd English.
Todd English. Okay.
Yeah. And it is outstanding. Honestly, that's actually kind of a hidden treasure. And Andy and I have talked about this before.
It's one of the never heard about that.
Nobody goes because they don't know it's there. Yeah. And it is outstanding. One of the best meals I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. One of our mutual clients stumbled upon it when she was dropping her kids off at the kids club there.
Yeah.
And they just decided, and rather than coming back to the food and wine festival where I was waiting for them. They walked past this restaurant and
it is a hidden treasure. It is you hear about Victoria and Albert's, which is a fantastic experience, and it doesn't have the stars and the diamonds and everything that Victoria and Albert's has, but it is an outstanding meal. It's world class. cuisine. I cannot say enough about it. We were just blown away by it. And we even had sort of a mediocre dining experience because it is in a, because it's in the Swalfen, it's in a convention center area. And it just so happened we had an early reservation. And so, I don't know, Deloitte and Touche or somebody had taken out the bar for their, you know, conference reception or whatever. So there were like 300 consultant accountants making a huge noise in this bar. And we got seated right next to the bar. So we actually had a hard time.
I think they were there last time, too.
I think they're always there, actually. I think Deloitte & Touche just has, like, a rotating conference there. So, but, so we had, like, we couldn't really converse, but fortunately the food was really good. So we
just started your face.
And look at each other. There were four of us just look at each other. We didn't have the kids either, so it was like, all right, we can do this.
Well, Andy, what did he get this time that he won?
He got the Simply Fish with the Dijon cream and crab sauce on it. It was just very simple and elegant. I got the grouper, but his just beat it out of the park. Just even the presentation of it was so much better with the cream on the side. And their dessert is phenomenal every time we've gotten the truffles that they make there. And this time they had a great little display with in the chocolate. They wrote congratulations. Aww. And it's just kind of a game of figuring out what's inside the truffle.
Which
unfortunately I have to share.
If you have a photo of that would be a great lead-in photo for our podcast. You can say,
well, yes, I do.
That's awesome. That's a great idea.
That's cool.
So did he win the dessert too, or do you guys just share the dessert?
Well, we share. We're always so full by that point. I always regret because then it's like, I want them all. I don't want to have to share. But we split them in half, so we got to try everything.
Okay. Thanks. So you each order one, and then you share between the two of you.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know about the secret Food and Wine classic that Lindsay doesn't like to tell people about because she's afraid it's going to get popular?
The classic, I'm not sure, but I love the Food and Wine Festival. That's why we originally planned to go when he proposed, was I heard you have to go for Food and Wine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So the Food and Wine Classic is Change Your Life amazing. And if you love Todd English, if you love Blue Zoo, he's there every year. And his dishes are you know, so worth the line to get to. That is the best money I think you can spend on food. And
is that a Disney thing, too?
It's not Disney affiliated. It's Food and Wine Classic. It's Swan and Dolphin.
I did hear about that, but I didn't get to go.
Yeah, it's a really great time. Thanks a lot, Sandy, because now there's going to be 7 million more.
We only have 5 listeners, Lindsay. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think Scott's going this year.
And it's just one weekend, right? Or is it a week?
It's one weekend. It's 2 nights out of the year. I say it's the real magic band because you can get a wristband. And when we first started going, it was like $50 for this wristband. And that was really a steal because you can eat and drink all you want night long. But now I think it's about 100. I think it's 120. And there's a beer garden add-on. So if you do the beer garden add-on, I think it's like 125, 130 or something like that. So
it's not bad.
So worth it.
Yes.
No, it's a Friday and Saturday night. The last couple of years, it's been on Halloween. And this year, I think it's just after or just before. I can't remember. Get out the calendar. But it's to die for. And it's like one of those you want to train your stomach for to go to. Because I'm serious. Like, you can't. I can't. The last couple of years, there's just so much food. You can't eat it all.
Well, and incidentally, whatever date Lindsay tells you, you might want to Google it anyway because she's going to lie to you.
Yeah, right?
She's not going to tell you what weekend it is. She's like, I don't need another person in line. I'm good.
So train your stomach, line your pockets, and just plan to eat all night and drink all night.
So Andy, you're specializing in something about Disney that's really fantastic and they do very well, but not as many people necessarily think about because you think of Disney with children. But you've also always on all of these trips, if I'm not mistaken, gone to Universal for at least a day as well, correct?
With 2 of them, we've gone to Universal.
So is that as romantic or is that just a day of screams and fun and then we come back to Disney?
I mean, it's a bit more of the screams and fun, but I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, and so is my husband. So we love just going just to the Harry Potter world and to drink the butter beer. And I've met so many people who are the same way. They're fans. I've recommended proposing in front of that castle
before
to a lot of my clients. Everybody everybody expects it in front of the castle, the Cinderella's castle at Disney. Mm-hmm. But if you plan on going there for a day, nobody's going to expect it. But it's still such a great spectacle, a great picture.
Yeah. How great would it be to organize something at the Ollivanders at the wand?
Yes.
Oh. How neat would that be?
And have it, yeah, have the ring on the wand. That would be a perfect idea. Yes. That would have been a dream for me.
Yes. Yes.
He's probably listening, so that's going to be how he presents my 10-year anniversary.
Well, you'll be able to plan the whole thing, so.
Yeah, he's fine with that.
My husband and I got married at the courthouse in Orlando and did the Disney thing too, but we went to Universal on the day that we got married, and they gave us, we had a VIP tour scheduled, but they gave us a private one, and they introduced us at every single ride, and we had the Mickey and Minnie ears, the tackiest thing you can do, but we were the only people in the park with the Mickey ears.
Really? I wonder why.
Yeah.
But they introduced us at everything, like even at the Dr. Seuss train.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they make it rhyme?
Yeah, it was really great. They really went out of their way. So I would say that they are just as romantic, if not, I think they kind of got an edge up nowadays on Disney because I don't think they're getting as many people coming through to get married, probably.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure not. But they do have the customer service there. It's really coming up to Disney standards going above, in my opinion. They do treat you so well. And for, I guess when I've gone, it's been less crowded. So there's so many nice private nooks so you can have a moment to yourself. Mm-hmm. The whole time you're really, I can't believe I just got engaged, or I can't believe I just got married. So it's nice to have those little moments to enjoy to yourself. And that's something at Disney, even during September now, you just don't get as much. It's getting a lot more crowded.
Yeah. I think in some ways it actually was good that he proposed to you where he did, because you did have that moment then afterwards to be, yes. You know, there's not a huge crowd around. Whereas if you get proposed to at Cinderella's Royal Table or even in front of the castle, I mean, I can't mm-hmm. tell. I've been to Disney close to 50 times now, and I probably see a proposal every time I go.
Oh, and I, so, yeah, I saw yeah. like the weekend I did the Dopey race, I saw three.
Yeah.
I saw two in front of the castle and one at the finish line.
So yeah, there's a little idea for you because we have friends who've got engaged at the Disney at the finish line as well. So if you have runners,
I am not one, but I have some friends.
Because there's nothing more romantic than being really sweaty after running 26 miles and then proposing. I mean, what could be better?
Well, I will say that you're pretty emotional when you finish a marathon. So, you know.
I was going to say, there was not a dry eye to be seen. It was one of the most romantic. They did both stink really bad. Just doing poopy. So, but that was really great to see.
You know what she told me though, Lindsay? She said that she knew she was going to finish first, and she had asked him if it was okay. She just left and mm-hmm. didn't wait for him.
Yeah,
he was like, no. She could go take a shower. She said the look on his face was like, okay. So I'm really glad that didn't happen.
Maybe she just has to keep up with her.
Yeah, right? I know. Well, yeah.
I think he did run harder than, and I think she actually held back a little bit that time too, because
maybe. I don't know. I didn't see them at the race. That was when I did my first full, but I was following them. I had like, you can do runner tracking and stuff, so I was tracking them, but yeah.
Did she have any idea it was coming?
No, she had no clue.
Oh my
And God. It was so hard. I had such a hard time keeping my mouth shut because I was like, so we were so happy all day long, giddy for them. Just totally, where are they?
I can't imagine keeping that secret because I hear there's such a thing as a runner's high. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced this myself, but if you have that, I'm not sure that I'd be able to keep my mouth shut, especially if I was the one proposing.
Andy, you're going to fit in just fine around here.
Oh, wonderful.
Sandy's the only actual runner. Lindsay runs to get medals, which is respectable.
She's a the boy.
Shiny. I'll run for shiny.
So I'd like to hear your opinion on Disney for adults, you know, not necessarily just romance, but now you've been several times and we've had these discussions on this podcast before about Disney for adults and what it's like. Can you talk to that a little bit? And like, if somebody says to you, well, I don't want to go to Disney with my loved one without children because there's nothing for us to do. What do you say to that?
I mean, I think Disney brings out the kid in all of us. I know that's a little cliche, but there are the romantic and the private ideas just for adults. They have a great bar. There's great drinks that you can go around and experience. But just doing the same things you would do with kids, except not having to worry about watching the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like a 6-year-old every time I go. It's not something that when I'm there, I even think, oh, I'm being kiddy. You wear the ears, you wear the mitts, and scream at the top of your lungs when you see your favorite princess. I was so excited my first time. I had to meet every single one, and I didn't care there wasn't a kid present. So I think if you love Disney, or even if you just want to feel like a kid again, it's a great experience for just adults. You definitely don't need to bring your kids along.
Yeah, I think it's even if you're not a huge Disney fan, I think that it's appealing because you can. I think it's something about the suspending disbelief once you walk in. Like, you know, when you walk into Magic Kingdom, there's no clocks, there's no TVs, there's no, you know, you have your phone, so you kind of know stuff's going on, but you can just connect and you can just be immersed, you know? And
no stress.
I think it was it was a really difficult decision for Disney to introduce Wi-Fi to the parks because they didn't want you to have that connection to the outside. Yeah. It sort of it became a necessity just in the way we live our lives. But I do think that was really, I don't know. I wasn't in the boardroom, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't as much a financial discussion as it was about the atmosphere, just not wanting people's faces in their phones the whole time.
Yeah.
So I like the transformation I see in adults when I go with adults and they're there. And I like, but my husband's not a Disney fan and he very much, but he's like a little kid. When we do the behind the scenes tours, we do the steam train and anything like that. He turns into a little kid, and watching him, one of the first times we went together, splash in the puddles, like he was 6 again. I really think there's just something about the atmosphere. And my husband's like 6'5", covered in tattoos, rides a Harley, very angry looking, hates people, you know. Grumpy is his spirit animal, but he was, you know, with his mouse ears on, he did the Pirates League and
he did the Pirates League?
Pirates League.
But you feel the weight just fall off your shoulders when you walk through those doors, or even when you just drive through the archway and first see the signs of Disney. It's an amazing experience. And again, from the foodie side, to be able to go during any of their festivals at Epcot or really any time of the year and try all the foods, things I've never tried before, and try the plum wine at Japan. That was one of the things I was so excited about. It's a great experience, even when you're not in Magic Kingdom. I think Epcot is a great area for adults as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And now every festival has turned into like a little mini food festival.
And that is not a problem.
Great for us foodies.
We are not complaining. I was pleasantly surprised. This arts festival just rolled out, and I went, and there aren't very many booths, but as Lindsay said on a previous episode, but there's a few, and they're different. That was the other thing too. I was like, they're not going to be different. They're going to be the same things that are there for the other.
It was very unique. Really, and I was really pleasantly, they packed a wall up, I think, for what it was. It was, it could be a major contender with food and wine if they do amp up the booths. I think that's.
Well, they're doing it again next year already, they said.
So that really means for foodies, you can go from any time between mid-January to mid-May. Yep. And then from September to November, and
isn't it the end of August this year? I mean, they really are extending
the
food
flower
wine.
And garden. Oh, you mean, it starts at the end of August.
I feel like it's like the last weekend of August that it starts. And now it goes like mid-November. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does go longer in November.
Yeah.
Because I remember when it used to stop before the Wine and Dine.
Wine and Dine was the last weekend. Yeah.
So Andy, you mentioned the plum wine. What's your favorite booth at the Food and Wine Festival? Do you have a favorite?
It changes every year. My husband loves the Scotland one because he's always excited to try the haggis when they have it. I don't know. I think this past year I like Germany. I didn't try it previously. I am German, so I get that food a good bit. But just the schinken noodle and just the bratwurst on the roll was wonderful.
Yeah, there's like a... I don't know if they had it this year. There was like this cheese dip with, I forget what it came with in Germany. I think it came with bread or something, but they gave you so much that I was able to go get one of those humongous pretzels, too.
Oh, those pretzels.
That's like my kid's favorite. Oh, but the jalapeno stuffed pretzels that they don't sell anymore, that's like breaking Fox's heart.
It's so the best with like with beer and the jalapeno cheese pretzel. Yeah. That was like a great flavor combo.
I know. Why did they stop?
So we're talking about foodie stuff, because since this is something that Andy knows a lot about, I'm going to start with Andy. I'm going to put you on the spot, but what is your favorite, like, what's the snack food or food that every time you go to Disney World you have to have? And you can't
say... Oh, that's easy.
Okay, go ahead.
Dole Whip.
Okay, good. I was going to say, you can't say Mickey Bar, because that's lame.
The Dole Whip is the one thing, it's always so warm, so it's so refreshing. It's the one thing that I require the first day I go, and I usually eat it every day that I'm there.
Nice. So where else do you get it besides Adventureland? Do you get any, do you go to Polynesian and get it there? Or
do you always go to the same place?
Well, I usually get it there, but I've gotten it in Epcot recently. The last time the Polynesian had it mixed with the rum.
Ooh.
And that was wonderful.
Epcot
does something they should have done long ago.
Epcot does that. Do they do it for Flower and Garden now? Is that...
They do it at Flower and Garden and at Food and Wine. And I saw there was Dole Whip mixed with rum at the refreshment port at the refreshment port in Epcot during this this last arts festival, they had it there too. So I think it's become a staple now.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of us have whined about it, I think.
So I have one that I just discovered on the last trip.
Alcoholics in there, don't.
So last time I was there, we went to Yak and Yeti to the sit-down part, not the counter service, and had the ahi tuna nachos, which is on the appetizer menu, and it's for two. Oh my goodness, those were so good. Yeah, I'm going to definitely have those again. Even though next time I go, no one in my family will eat them but me, but I might have to eat the whole thing.
My tradition is
super good.
Mine's gone.
Oh,
it's gone.
That sucks.
I went back and it's gone. And so now I have to find a new one, but it was the mac and cheese with the truffle oil mac and cheese with bacon on a hot dog.
Oh, at Hollywood Studios.
And they've gotten rid of all the gourmet hot dogs. Like everywhere I went.
Well, Chris is not going to like that.
The biggest tragedy, they got rid of the gourmet waffle fries. Like, I stood in that line for 90 minutes.
That wasn't even always open, though.
I came to the front. And I said, I want to get the barbecue pulled pork. And the guy goes, oh, we don't have that anymore. We just have plain waffle fries. And I guess I must have looked so crestfallen that he's like, would you like a bottle of water? I'm like, no, I want some fattening waffle fries. Flip a pulled pork.
Well, the pulled pork mac and cheese at Friars is wonderful, too. That was one of the things on my list the first time we went.
That was so impressive. On my last trip, that was when my son ate his way through Disney World. He's 10 years old. Seriously, every 2 hours he had to eat. And he'd be like, I want a snack. I'd say, okay. He's like, I want the pulled pork mac and cheese. I'm like, that's not a snack. That's like a whole meal. You just had a whole meal. But I posted a picture of the pulled pork mac and cheese, and Andy commented, she's like, is that the pulled pork mac and cheese? I was like, way to go. Meanwhile, Laura's like, is that chocolate cake?
I feel like this is cheating a little to say this, but I can't think of one snack food I have to have every time. I have to have a horchata margarita, though, every single time I go.
Oh, jalapeno margarita.
I have a drink snack list.
Yeah, I'm your favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite, Andy, your favorite drink?
That is a good question. The plum wine was one of my favorites, but we always go to Beer Garten for their German-sized beers, and they had a grapefruit one last time. That was so light and refreshing.
Hopper grapefruit.
Yes. And it's such a different experience because you're so used to having to finish it there. So the second one, because I was already stumbling, they're like, would you like it in a to-go cup? It's like, oh, yes, that would be wonderful.
Thank you, Disney.
Just stumbling your way back through, and then we just always go on Spaceship Earth to...
Take a nap. My favorite is very close to there. It's in the China Pavilion. It's actually not in the pavilion. It's across near the water. There's a little egg roll stand that nobody notices but me. This is my secret. This is my food and wine.
And it's right out there in front of everybody.
And nobody sees it. And it's called Tipsy Ducks in Love. And it's coffee, tea, Jim Beam, chocolate, and then you can opt for whipped cream or not. And it's so funny because you can also, there's like, you can also get it with just the coffee, tea, and the chocolate. And so I order it and they say, with alcohol? What did you say? I don't understand that question. And then they're like, with whipped cream? What? Of course.
Yeah, everything. So,
but I will say the whipped cream is kind of overkill. You can do without that because it does sweeten it up a little bit more than it needs. But it's like caffeine and alcohol. It's like all the things that are good in this world.
I don't know that I've ever tried one of those. I know you've talked about them.
They're so
good. I think I've seen lots of people drink them, but I don't think I've ever had them myself.
And they are cold, just for the record. You know, I said coffee and tea, so people are like, oh, is it a hot drink? No, it's iced. But
so is it a black tea or a chai tea or what type of tea in it?
Here's the funny thing. I don't even like tea. I wouldn't know one tea. I wouldn't know tea from an F, honestly. It's all the same to me. So I don't know. I can taste the tea in it, but I don't mind it because it's got chocolate and coffee with it. So I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say green tea in China, right?
Green tea. So it's probably the tannins that are going so well with the chocolate and the coffee.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Now that you've asked that question, I want to know because I would like to know what makes it taste so good. It's just got like this really light tea flavor in it that it's for somebody who doesn't like tea, it's like just enough for me to know that's tea, but not enough for me to say, I don't like this. So, yeah.
It's tasty. No, list of things to try.
There was at this past arts festival, they had that deconstructed breakfast that was like bourbon and tea, and it was so good. I really hope that they put that somewhere on a permanent menu in one of the tea cars.
I kept trying to get Marcus to stop at that booth, and he was like, no, Mom, we got to go see the movie in Canada. And I'm like, all right.
Hey, Martin Short.
We had never seen it. So, yeah, I was, we got to come back
how,
here.
How did bourbon and breakfast go together?
Oh, it was so, it was ridiculously, ridiculously delicious. And it had like a little maple waffle crisp thing floating on top of it. I should have had like.
That's the reason they can call it breakfast.
Yeah.
Does it have bacon? Because for me, I hear bourbon and breakfast, I think bacon.
Yeah, it had bacon. It had bacon in it. It was, Yeah, it definitely, it had bacon in it, and it had,
Captain Crunch, and,
it was,
French toast.
Creamy, sweet, and savory mix of Twinings apple chai tea shake with cream bourbon, a waffle crisp, and candied bacon.
Okay.
And it was heaven in your mouth.
So was it like a frozen drink?
Yeah. It was cold. Yeah.
Something would be in my mouth, though, right, where it wouldn't be heaven.
On that note, I say the next time we go to Food and Wine, we have to be sure Andy's with us because of her foodie tendencies.
I think we need to drag Laura around, too.
Believe me, when I go, I have a notebook. I have to try this time and this time. Otherwise, you just get in there and you go crazy and you forget.
Yeah.
We always do the dining plan, and I'm just like, I just have to use all of these.
Yeah. Got to spend them out.
Yeah, I can't do the dining plan and Food and Wine Festival because all I want to do is eat at all the booths.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think next time we won't do it. The first time we did the deluxe, and
oh my goodness.
I mean, we were waddling around, and I think we gave two meals away and just took a bunch of bottles of water home for the snacks. It was just so much.
Yeah.
Do you get your passport? I get my passport and like the hotel, like pre-gaming, like this day, I'm gonna have this day, and oh my gosh, I guess I have to go like one more time because.
Well, we usually go three times, and one meal is just the Food and Wine Festival. I don't plan lunch that day at all.
So we're running out of time, but I'd like to hear your tips, Andy, on the Food and Wine Festival and sort of how to get it all in. Like, how do you? Is it three meals? Is that what you set aside for it? Well, how do you do it?
I usually do two snacks and one lunch. And the day that we do the lunch, I mean, we're literally eating all day. We may go see other things, but we're walking around and trying to hit up. I have started to limit what I get so that I don't try to be too stuffed too early.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I pregame. I plan out. I know I want to try this, and I want to try this, and I want to try this. Zane and I split so that we only get a little bit of each thing. That way we can try more things in the day. And I try to really limit the extra drinks. The alcoholic drinks are okay, but not too much of everything else, because it fills your stomach up if you're just drinking a bunch of sodas and the sugary things all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But drink water. Biggest,
Water. Drink water, but don't drink all the sugary drinks.
Is there a list of everything that's served during the Food and Wine Festival? How are you planning it out?
Well, it's usually listed online on a couple websites months ahead. So before I even go to Disney, I have a printout of the things that I know I want to get. But the first thing when I walk into Epcot is I do get that little passport so that I mark off on there or circle what's the most important for that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good planning. Yeah. Well, when we went last time, I had my twins with me, and they were 13 at the time. And you can exchange a counter service meal for three snacks or three food and wine things. So that worked out perfect for the three of us. Mm-hmm. We could exchange those meals. And my son wanted to eat like this one steak thing over and over and over again.
You want to try anything else?
No, it was the one in the Chew over by where Club Cool is and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, where they had that awesome ravioli.
Yes, yeah. And they like the chocolate.
Well, I love the truffle.
The chocolate ganache truffle. Yeah, all mm-hmm. that. Yeah, that stuff was good too. Yeah.
Okay, well, we are out of time. I think we should do another episode on foodie travel too, because we haven't done that in a long time. So somebody write that down.
Weird.
Make a note.
They did.
So that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or just search for Fly Away and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. We want to extend a very special thank you to Andy for joining us on the podcast tonight. And on behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Sandy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.